It's been a while. I understand I took a break from the show. It wasn't scheduled. It's actually kind of unfortunate I did take a break. I didn't really want to. It just had to happen. You know, some things in my personal life happened, and they unfortunately kind of intersected with the show, which is kind of only like 10% of my personal life. So it's not really part of my personal life. It's so public. I mean, I have listeners, like the dietitians out there, listen to all the stuff the show's about. So it's not exactly part of the personal life. But it got affected by my personal life, you know. And, you know, I understand that no one's really excited about hearing the plights of Dylan, you know. But I don't care. It's my show, and I'm going to tell you right now. You know, I moved recently. That kind of took up a lot of energy and time and resources. I actually wasn't even around an internet connection for, you know, a long enough time to execute the show and get it uploaded while I was trying to do all this shit, okay? And I'm sorry, okay? It made the dietitians kind of suffer. They didn't get the show on time. The dietitians usually expect the Strange Diet broadcast out at least once a week. There's even been moments through the course of the show where it was more often than that. There's been a couple moments where it was less often than that. Nonetheless, you know, I do want to extend an apology to the fans who were expecting a show who did not get one in time for Thanksgiving. And the holiday itself is Thanksgiving, and it would have been nice to give thanks to the Strange Diet broadcast, but it didn't happen, you know. But maybe in the context of the universe and your life, maybe it's better because there was no interference on Thanksgiving. You know, the show did not interfere there. So you, and that's what the show's about. You know, let's absorb all these things 100%, you know, for what they are. And without the distraction of the show, I was able to have a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you were able to fully, you know, focus undividedly on the holiday, which is what I'm hoping. Because if I would have came out with a Thanksgiving show, y'all know it would have just been about how cool Thanksgiving is, you know, how much we need to love the turkey, whether or not it's organic, you know. It would have been about, you know, cowboys and Indians and Chris Columbus, and it would have been like all, it would have been a distraction. And the point is, the show would have been about how cool Thanksgiving is and how important it is, but it would have been like oxymoronic because it would have been taking Thanksgiving away. So there it is. I'm just kind of like recapping what the show would have been about after Thanksgiving, which doesn't make sense. But I'm doing it. And if you've been listening to the show, you understand at least 50% of the show doesn't even make sense. But we're listening to the show for other reasons. We're listening to the show because we both like it. I like doing the show, and you like hearing about some of these nonsensical babbles I get on, you know. And once in a while, I'll kind of like nail a little subject that will make us think about something that we haven't thought about. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking to you a day before you hear it. And then once you hear it, it justifies that action for me. And the show goes on and on. So thank you, you know. Thank you for indulging these aspirations that I have. You know, it means a lot. So anyways, I've been gone for about a month. You guys probably didn't even care, probably didn't even notice. But if you did, I hope you enjoy the show we're about to get into this evening or this morning. Or for me, it's the evening. That's what's weird about this. Like, for me, it's the evening. You might get it in the middle of the night. You might not get it. Your internet might be off as well. And you might get it back, and it could be the morning. For me, it's the evening. Yeah, it's the evening, and I've been drinking a little bit. Drink a couple of brews. You know, the good news is I'm not going to go to hell, though, because they were gluten-free beers. So there was no guilt to be had in that beer drinking. Absolutely none. And most of the gluten-free beer I have ever drank has been nasty. You know, overly tasteful, you know, like too much flavor involved. Like, I don't know what they're doing in lieu of the gluten with some of these. You know, the kind I had was pretty marvelous beer. It was gluten-free, but it was called Omission. I don't know if that's a nationwide variety. I'm not exactly sure who even brews it. It's just kind of something available at one of the local markets here. Omission was not bad. Definitely not my favorites, but if you're avoiding the gluten and you're wondering, you know, you need a suggestion, okay, don't get the New Grist. Don't know who brews that either. Do not get that. That's pretty nasty. If you're going to try one and you want it to be a winner and you don't want to go out on a limb and you don't want to take a risk on this, please go with the Omission. It's going to be a quality beverage, you know, and that's kind of what the goal is, especially if we're trying to avoid gluten, because most, it's almost like gluten equals quality. Like, gluten-free bread sucks, okay? Gluten-free beers also suck, right? So if you have to take the quality out of this beer, you need to do it. You need to have some advision. Advision is not a word. I don't want to say advice, though. It doesn't sound right either. You have been advised to go with Omission. And if you don't care about what you put into your body, or about your gluten content, then just get as hammered as you can with some Jose. And that's about the best advice I could give to you. Take it from someone who knows. Just drink responsibly with everything else in life, you know? Drive responsibly, okay? Like, date responsibly. Anything. Like, eat responsibly. That's one thing I'll never get. Like, okay, you have a beer commercial. Drink responsibly, all right? You have a Taco Bell commercial, but why doesn't it say eat grease responsibly? Or like, Surgeon General's warning shows that eating too much Taco Bell will make you obese. I just feel like, you know, we villainize things, you know, like for some reason that makes us feel safer. Like we're aware of the evil within this product, but so feel safe about it. You know, Dos Equis commercials, that super cool dude, you know, telling all the rad stories. And once you're all psyched on the beer, they fucking ruin your confidence. Please drink responsibly. Like, you're not cool enough to handle what the Dos Equis guys is doing. Like, well, chill down, partner. Drink this responsibly. Just ruin it for me, then. Shit, you know? Why does that get the... That gets the defamation of character, alcohol, you know? Like, we have to use that with caution. I won't understand, like, you know, but we will have commercials for things that are extremely dangerous with no, you know, with no legal requirements of warnings or cautionary statements. What is the line? What line gets crossed when you have to start providing the warnings? I mean, has there been information to show that too much fucking processed, greasy-ass shit will cause fucking health problems? I don't understand why Ronald McDonald commercials don't get, like, warning things attached to it and stuff. But, and now, meanwhile, we don't even get, like, Joe Camel commercials anymore. Like, I'm sorry, I was 3 or 4 seeing Joe Camel commercials on TV. I thought Joe Camel was cool. I didn't even associate with him cigarettes. You know, my mom and dad would frequently smoke cigarettes. I knew in my heart that looked dumb and wrong and stupid and pointless, you know? So So that was enough. You know, all of a sudden you take Joe Camel off TV, you put him out of a job. He's now looking for a job, unemployed, probably signing up for Obama checks and all of a sudden. He's probably going to vote Democrat because of that. Thanks. We need Joe Camel. And this is why, because he was a legit force in like, you know, part of our, this is how we do it. Like, we come up with products, we sell them, we advertise them. You fucking kicked him off TV, and now what? Now, I have a biased opinion, or not me personally, but, you know, someone who's younger than me has a biased opinion about, you know, about marketing and about products and, you know, about safety even, really. It's actually about safety at a certain point, you know. We're all going to have, we're not all going to have, because some of us are hopeless, but most of us are going to have offspring, you know, families, futures, hopefully. That's a big hope. That's capital hope and hopefully. You know, and what I'm saying is now. What I'm saying is now, some of these people, like some of these younger kids, you know, they're going to know from day one, or at least believe from day one, cigarettes equal cancer and death, you know? And so they're going to turn to other shit, all right? They're going to turn to shit like Subway, because Jared Fogle's on TV losing weight, eating fucking mayonnaise and salami, which that should come with the warning label, honestly. You know, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to, like, speak from my own heart at this point. Cigarettes help you lose weight. So basically what I'm saying is, like, some kind of consideration needs to get taken into account when we're coming up with, like, villainizing these products and demonizing things that actually appeal to our natural impulses. And, like, I'll admit it, you know, when I have a cigarette, you know, or when I used to have a cigarette in the middle of a work break, you know, and I happened to be a cook, you know, that shit literally settled me down for some reason. Don't know why. I could get back in there, sweat a few more bullets because it's hot in the kitchen, okay? And with that stress gone, I could function cleaner, you know? My work would, you know, maybe not get done better, but I could actually contain my emotions better, which was better for the work environment, all right? And it kept my weight down. And I'm not, like, I don't have a weight issue, but it is, there's something to be said for that, you know? Yes, the act of inhaling the smoke, you know, is not good for you, but there's more to a cigarette than the smoke. That'd be a sick Marlboro bumper sticker. Maybe I should sell them that quote. Copyright 2013 Strange Diet Broadcast. Don't fucking steal that quote right there. A cigarette is more than the smoke. I like that. Anyways, I hope all that made sense. That's like, we don't need to demonize things that are fucking, you know, lovely to some people. I don't really want to start a war between Taco Bell and cigarettes, but we have to be fair about this. What else? Like, that was weird. I brought up cigarettes. Like, I was actually talking about alcohol and the please drink responsibly thing. I don't know anyone that actually drinks responsibly, though. I hate that about words. What, drinking responsibly? Does that even mean anything? Responsible. That's just more like a spectrum of, like, how responsible are you? Okay, what would drinking responsibly be? How could you follow that order? Responsible, if anything, responsible means, like, how able are you to respond? Why is that word even included into the conversation of doing anything responsibly? I don't even understand how that word started getting used for like, you know, that kind of purpose. It doesn't even make sense to me. That was like a complete twist of the English language. We need to settle down as a society. We need to, like, clarify some shit. We need to, like, throw out a lot of things. Like, we need to throw out the rules of the English language. That's one. Like, that's getting a lot of people confused. If we can do that, we can start writing proper legislation with words that actually, excuse me, actually mean something or actually, like, have value. Because a lot of our fucking words, you know, they just don't mean a whole lot. Luckily, we have a lot of them. We could try to use a lot. That's why some people end up talking so much. A lot of people just do a lot of talking because they don't even know what they're talking. Or they don't know what they're saying. They just have like this ping pong ball floating in the, around in their mind, just bouncing off of words, and it just, and I, like that's why.
I gotta stop. That was a little too close to shit talking right there. But, you know, I gotta reserve my shit talking for a certain demographic. I can't just do super broad stroke shit talking. That's gonna alienate people. You know, gotta be wise about that. You know, but if I mean, please, we no one likes this chatterbox person who isn't entertaining. Like, if you're gonna be a chatterbox, can you entertain me? Can you teach me? Can you educate me? You know, I don't like this dry, bland, white, neutral blabberville out of some people. Because, and it's not their fault most of the time. Like I was trying to say, you know, a lot of our, we have words that mean two things, you know. We have three words that mean one thing. We have several spellings for one word. I mean, like, we need to just, like, tone it down, okay? Just, like, clarify it all. I think if we could clarify a bunch of shit, you know, maybe starting with the English language, we'd have a more clarified society. I'm just, I guess I'm speaking about America, you know, that's all I have experience with. There's probably many spots in the world with maybe different problems, but not these kind of problems. Like, a lot of issues that we deal with over here just come from like convoluted policy, like laws, like the way our laws are. Like, most of these are open to interpretation, which is why, like, a judge is, you know, critical in our, in courts. I would be interested to learn about the judicial structure of other places, because the judge thing, the judge is like our answer to our own confusion as a fucking, like, structural society. Like, if we have to send someone through trial, it should just be kind of, the trial should be tradition, and the verdict and outcome should pretty much not require a judge. I mean, if we have laws and guidelines and boundaries, they should be impenetrable and black and white. We don't need someone to interpret the law, which is why a lot of fucking shit happens. And that's just a, that's just because it's convoluted. Like, we need to define some shit. Someone move out to an island with me where we can just be defined in our ways of living. We don't need this money, credit, fucking ghost currency bullshit. We need to, like, we need to deal with, there, in fact, there would be no bank, you know. There would be no jobs. There would be no prices. It would be, on my island, it would be, everything costs the same amount, and no one works for another person. So, at a certain point, it stops becoming money. Whatever gets used as the currency, I guess we could call them acorns, you know. Everything costs an acorn, so each family gets 10 acorns. You know, so these acorns are worthless, which is the beauty. If someone robs you for your acorns, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But they're also infinitely powerful because everything costs one acorn. So I'm going to just let your imaginations play with that real quick. So check it. You could buy a house with an acorn. You got a house, you know. Someone probably built that house. And so you buy it from them for an acorn. And you get a whole house for an acorn. It's a crazy good deal. So they get an acorn for building a house. They didn't have to sell you the house. They could have lived in the house. They really needed an acorn. Why? Because his neighbor builds boats. He wants a boat. He spends an acorn on the boat, all right? He needed an acorn to buy the boat with. And I didn't need a potato, which is what he was selling for an acorn apiece. He had to build something I needed. for an acorn, which was a house. I wasn't going to buy anything but a house. So he got the acorn for me, spent it on the boat from his neighbor, and now he's got a boat. I got a house, all right? Seems like a bad deal for the guy who sold the boat for an acorn. But now he's got an acorn. And he can get whatever he wants for that one acorn, you know? And no one's trying to get rich. They're trying to get what they need, and the drive for creation still exists. But you can't spend more than one acorn on anything, because once that happened, the human condition kicks in, and all of a sudden the shift has been made, the balance has been tipped, and now we're no longer after things we need. We're after these acorns because we're one acorn down. This is how it happened, infinity years ago. That was the downfall. And then once the balance was gone, people started coming up with ways to get that acorn back, to get back to neutral. And then it's basically forever indentured servitude because somebody ended up with an extra acorn. And then they realized that they can pretty much, you know, hover it over the head of the rest of society. Like, I have an extra one. I can employ you for this acorn. Or like they used it as power. Once something got sold for two acorns, the balance was gone, and now the rest of the people are at a disadvantage and are now exerting energy to climb back up the ladder and step back onto the neutral platform. And in order to do that, they felt like they needed the acorn. Somehow that focus shifted, you know, from it, you know, advancing to, you know, to the feeling of the acquisition of acorns becoming the more important part of living.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to definitely outline that in like a thesis paper. I think it's a definitely legit style of economy. You know, it's going to take work for it to ever go down anywhere in the world, because it's pretty much a reversal of, like, you know, human motivation. Like, it's going to be hard to get people signed up for that. And, you know, when all of a sudden you tell people, hey, you cannot get rich, but it's not communism, they don't know what to do. But I'm gonna outline that. I think it would be neat to actually have this plan analyzed, you know, at some sort of I'm gonna say the dirty word, at some sort of university, as a gain some kind of insight on, like, you know, the relative likelihood of success on this shit. You know, if I had to guess, I would guess that it would pretty much be strongly rejected. But it's just a guess, you know. It's been on my mind for a while, so I thought I'd just express it to the dietitians out there, and you know, hopefully it's well received and it inspires some thought. Now, that's what the show's all about anyways, you know, inspiring thought, like when that survey was conducted. Oh, by the way, I'm speaking about inspiring thoughts. If someone could think of what song I'm using for the intro of the show, that contest is still up for grabs. Whoever writes in first, you know, calls in 530-615-8184. Whoever can drop the bomb first on, you know, what artist is responsible for the intro theme of the song. Like I said, you're going to get those 10 free seconds on the show. Whatever you want to say. Like I said, it could be commercial for your business, some kind of promo, the most profane thing you can think of for 10 seconds, live for all the dietitians. Well, not exactly live, you know, but on the air for the dietitians to hear it, man. If you want to say something to more than, you know, a classroom full of people, you know, if you want to reach a population, win this contest, I'll get you on the show for a solid 10 seconds. It's going to be real simple, you know. I'll figure out all the complex shit for you. You won't have to worry about anything but just speaking. And that's going to end up on the show, whatever it is that you want to say. So, please be aware that contest is still a running contest and there has been no winner yet.
you know, throwing back to some of the old school trauma here. It looks like that Roz Liz stuff, it's kind of fading into history. That's sad, you know. I feel a little tear in my heart saying that. I'm not exactly considering it as giving up, you know, but not everything can happen. Because if everything could happen, we would be floating and sticking to the ground, which is pretty much Stephen Hawking's uncertainty principle. Not everything can happen. I'm not giving up on it, but it's looking like that Roz Liz saga is coming to a close. She might not be contributing much of her art. It's all right, though. It's going to open the door for some other options there. You know, the graphic design team is still in effect, and we're still cranking some images out. Check them out, facebook.com/strangediet. You know, we're working all that stuff for packaging still for the Eat With Your Eyes. You know, it's coming together nicely. You know, we're looking at about halfway through completion for that movie. Go on YouTube, watch the teaser. Just search up Strange Diet Vid Channel. Should pretty much be the only result or the main result on that search queue. Watch it. Dietitians, how's your holiday season going? I guess starting from Halloween. I'm guessing your Halloween was pretty cool because I tried to make it exciting for at least the dietitians out there. So hopefully you had a good holiday season launch with Halloween and it, you know, flows right into a pleasant Thanksgiving. You know, mine was great. Definitely ate a lot of bird, that's for sure. Definitely got my my sugar intake unlock for that holiday. You know, and the leftovers were flowing. You know, we got a new holiday to look forward to. Christmas. How else would you celebrate the birth of a religious deity? It's the only way. Shower our youngsters with presents from Walmart. It's the only way to do it. And if you're not a Christian, the only other way to do it is to celebrate the non-existence of Jesus by showering your youngsters with presents for 8 days in a row. Which is not very congruent with the Jewish theme, because it's actually biblical for Jews to be frugal, which is one of the least frugal maneuvers. But it is very businesslike, which is something that Jewish people run the world in as well. Because the kids struck the ultimate deal with Hanukkah. You get toys, dreidel, right? Okay. You get a guarantee of 8 presents minimum. You're securing a solid week of holiday, and you get time, you get the same time out of school the Christians get. You gotta have respect for that Jewish perspective. Fucking love that, you know. We're not gonna believe in your religious deity, but we're gonna fucking celebrate harder than you. Suck it. Almost makes me want to be a Jew. Definitely makes me respect Modest Yahoo. I wouldn't make a good Jew though, like I just wouldn't. I don't know Hebrew. I actually like to talk shit too much. You know, I like to talk shit about everyone, including Jews. I would make a bad Jew for that reason. Plus, I don't know the culture, history for it, you know. Wouldn't be my thing. But I'll tell you one thing. I make one hell of a sorry Christian. Gone to church for years. Haven't really read, like, a solid chapter of the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Every time I say a prayer, I forget to say amen. I say God damn it all the time. I say Jesus Christ all the time. But I celebrate Christmas, so I guess that makes me a Christian, huh? There we go again with our convoluted society. We don't even know anymore. I could not do any of those and call myself a Christian, and then I get people believing me. You know, at a certain point, I just kind of toss my hands up and just say, whatever, and drop another dot of L. Turn around.
Please use the email address strangedietfuture@gmail.com to voice questions, comments, and concerns about the show, or to write in for surveys taken. Call 530-615-8184 to reach our official phone line 24 hours a day. And remember, whatever you say might make it onto the air.